Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Pirates Don't Wear Pink Sunglasses by Debbie Dady and Marcia Thornton-Jones. Narrated by Christine Vam. Chapter 1. Mistletoe.
I can't believe we have to go back there, Melody complained as the school bus went over a bump. Liza leaned her head out of the bus window and moaned, We'll never make it out of there alive. Mr. Jenkins will get us for sure this time.
The Bailey Elementary kids nodded as they remembered last summer at Camp Lone Wolf. They were sure Mr. Jenkins, their camp counselor, was a werewolf.
He'll have to deal with me first,
Eddie said from the seat behind the two girls. He held up a large clump of mistletoe. All right. Howie slapped his friend Eddie on the back. That should keep old werewolf face in check. The kids had read in a book that people during the Middle Ages used mistletoe to scare away werewolves. Eddie stuffed the mistletoe into his blue Bailey City gym bag.
I still don't believe Mr. Jenkins is really a werewolf, but just in case.
You're ready? Melody finished for him. The four kids were silent as the bus passed the sign that said, Welcome to Camp Lone Wolf. Tall weeds clung to the weathered sign. As the bus bumped over the gravel drive, Coach Ellison stood up in the front of the bus and grinned at the Bailey School kids.
I always look forward to this nature trip,
he said, rubbing his hands together.
Especially the boat race on Friday against the Sheldon Sharks.
I don't know why, Liza mumbled. Bailey School never wins.
Melody nodded.
All we end up with are mosquito bites.
Every year, the kids from Bailey Elementary went on a week-long nature trip, and every year, the field trip ended with a rowing competition against the kids from nearby Sheldon City. The Bailey boaters had never won a single race.
But this time, Coach Ellison says we're going to have a professional instructor, Howie told her.
If Mr. Jenkins doesn't get us first.
Melody shivered as she remembered Mr. Jenkins' wolf-like howls.
Maybe Mr. Jenkins won't even be there,
Liza said.
Yeah, maybe he retired to the old werewolves home, Melody said hopefully.
Eddie shook his curly red head and pointed.
Not a chance. Look!
As the bus squeaked to a stop, the four kids saw a very hairy Mr. Jenkins standing beside a picnic table. He wore no shoes, a brown Camp Lone Wolf t-shirt, and ragged blue jeans. Around his furry neck were silver dog tags. Beside him stood a stocky man with a long black beard and bright pink sunglasses. The stranger's frizzy black hair was tied back in a ponytail with a purple bandana, and a silver earring dangled from his left ear.
Oh, no, Melody gasped. Now there's two of them.
Howie gulped. It's a werewolf convention.
Everybody off,
Coach Ellison hollered from the front of the bus.
Let's get ready for those Sheldon Sharks.
Liza followed her friends off the bus.
I just hope we don't get eaten first.
Chapter 2. Captain Teach.
Welcome to Camp Lone Wolf, Bailey kids.
Mr. Jenkins boomed in a voice loud enough to rattle the bus windows.
I hope you're ready to work those rowing muscles of yours.
I hope he doesn't make a snack out of my muscles,
Melody whispered, but she quickly fell silent when Mr. Jenkins glared at her. His eyes were bloodshot and underlined with dark circles. He looked like he hadn't slept since the last time she'd seen him.
It's kind of you to give us a discount,
Coach Ellison said.
The school couldn't afford to pay full price.
Mr. Jenkins scratched his tangled beard and shrugged.
Business has been slow. At least this way the camp is earning some money, and I was lucky to run into Captain Teach. He's helping out at no cost.
Mr. Jenkins nodded to the burly man.
Teach knows all about making a crew shipshape. So you rookies pay attention and you'll win that boat race.
I'd rather eat hot dogs and ice cream,
Eddie laughed. But his smile faded when Mr. Jenkins grinned back, showing all his teeth. Mr. Jenkins licked his lips.
We'll worry about eating later, after Teach is through with you.
Liza gulped. I'm already worried.
They're all yours,
Mr. Jenkins told Captain Teach as he stalked into the woods. Coach Ellison held his hand out to the new instructor.
Hello, I'm Frank Ellison, the Bailey coach.
Instead of shaking his hand, Captain Teach spit on the dusty ground and adjusted his pink sunglasses. Coach Ellison dropped his hand to his side and stammered,
We're honored to have an experienced instructor. Where did you get your experience?
Captain Teach scowled and spoke with a gruff accent. Me life has been the sea, and I work where the tide takes me.
He winked at Coach Ellison and then turned to the kids clustered by the bus.
Why are you sailors loafing about?
He growled.
Get your gear stowed in the cabins and then hightail it to the docks. We've work to do.
The kids ran into each other as they grabbed their bags and headed for the cabins. Melody, Liza, and the other girls dumped their bags on the bunks in Cabin Grey Wolf. Dust clouds poofed from the mattresses and made them sneeze. This place is filthy, Melody snapped. It looks like no one has been here since we left. Liza knocked some cobwebs down with a pillow. You're probably right. Everybody started going to Camp Soaring Eagle on the other side of Sheldon City.
Camp Soaring Eagle is fantastic, Carrie said. It's much better than this flea nest. It has horses, motor scooters, and even scuba gear. I went there for 2 weeks. It was a blast.
Carrie's father was the president of the Bailey City Bank, and she always got to do whatever she wanted. Most of the kids thought she was a brat.
I don't think Camp Lone Wolf can afford that stuff, Liza said. It won't be able to afford to stay open if it doesn't do something fast, Carrie snapped. My dad said this place is broke. If they don't make this month's payment, Bailey Bank is going to take over.
What does a bank want with a camp? Melody asked. Carrie smiled.
They're going to sell it to Mega Mall Development Company, so Bailey City can have the biggest mall in the country.
We already have a mall, Melody reminded Carrie. Liza looked out the dusty window at all of the tall pine trees.
It'd be a shame to tear down all those trees. And what about the animals and Mr. Jenkins?
Carrie shrugged.
Who cares about that mangy man and all those nasty creatures? A mall would be great.
I'm not so sure, Liza muttered as the girls headed back outside. They met Eddie and Howie outside Cabin Silver Wolf. Tall weeds sprouted around the cabin.
This place is a mess, Howie said. It's gone to the dogs, Eddie laughed. Or should I say, the wolves?
Liza's face turned pale.
Maybe wolves have taken over. After all, I haven't seen any other camp counselors.
Liza's right, Melody said. Eddie laughed at his friends.
I have plenty of mistletoe with me. Besides, Coach Ellison and Captain Teach are here. We have nothing to worry about.
Howie took a deep breath and looked at his friend.
I hope you're right.
Chapter 3. Long-Tongued Jack. Coach Ellison herded the group down to the lake where Captain Teach waited. He stood on two boats, with 1 foot in each boat. Melody nodded.
Look at his parrot!
Perched on Teach's shoulder was a large yellow and green bird with a bright orange beak.
Morning, the bird chirped. Oh, how sweet, Carrie said.
Roommate,
the bird squawked. Eddie laughed.
Sweet, just like poison.
Hardy har har,
Captain Teach laughed and pushed up his sunglasses.
Long-tongued Jack here says it be time to get started. We've no time to waste if you're going to win that race.
But we can't win, Liza whined. The Sheldon City Sharks always beat the Bailey Boaters.
Can't never wins, can't never wins.
Long-tongued Jack squawked and raised his colorful wings.
Jack's right, Teach roared. We'll have no lily-livered quitters here. Captain Teach never gives up without a fight.
Even if we're the worst rowers in the state? Eddie asked.
Especially then,
Teach said, and adjusted his pink sunglasses.
We'll catch those Sheldon big shots off guard. They'll never know what hit them.
Now you're talking,
Eddie smiled. But the rest of the kids still looked uncertain.
Surely you pint-sized pieces of fish bait know the story of Molly the Red.
Captain Teach looked at the kids, shaking their heads.
Molly the Red! Molly the Red!
Long-tongued Jack screeched and flew over to Coach Ellison and sat on his head. A few kids snickered. Coach Ellison stood very still as Teach began telling his story.
It was back in 1718, when pirates still ruled the seas. Molly the Red was the fiercest pirate ever to sail up the northern coast. Most pirates were content to stay near the Barbary coast, where it was safe. But not Molly. She feared not a thing, except in maybe Blackbeard himself.
A few kids nodded their heads in recognition of the name Blackbeard, the most famous pirate who ever lived.
Molly's ship was loaded with riches she'd looted from Ship Salin from the East Coast harbors. She needed a place to hide out for a while, to bury her treasures. That place was
Bailey City,
Coach Ellison interrupted. Long-tongued Jack flapped his wings and squawked,
Bailey Treasure! Bailey Treasure!
But Bailey City isn't on the ocean, Howie pointed out.
Aye, a smart lad you be. The original settlement of Bailey City was right here on the shores of the Red River, which flows into the Atlantic.
I never knew pirates were in Bailey City,
Liza said with wide eyes. Teach shook his head.
The scallywags never made it. Molly thought that Bailey City would be an easy mark of yellow-bellied men and women, a good place to rob and plunder and hide out. But Bailey City had a surprise for her.
What happened? Melody asked.
When some of the gentlefolk of Bailey City heard that Molly's thieving rascals were on their way, they ran off. But some had the guts to stay. They built barricades and practiced with their weapons, women and men alike. They were ready when Molly's ship, heavy with treasure, rounded the bend to Bailey City.
Did Molly's pirates loot Bailey City? Howie asked.
Hardy har har, Captain Teach roared. Hardly. The men and women of Bailey City blew that ship clear out of the water.
What about the treasure?
Carrie asked.
Never found,
Teach whispered.
Some think it's still here, buried by that thieving woman somewhere on the shores of the Red River.
The kids looked at the blue water, wondering about the treasure, until Eddie interrupted.
This is all very interesting, he said to Captain Teach. But what does it have to do with the race?
Everything,
Teach said, slowly adjusting his pink sunglasses.
We're going to do the same thing to the Sheldon Sharks that they did to Molly the Red. We're going to blow them out of the water.
Chapter 4. Treasure.
You scallywags look to be getting the hang of it now, I see.
Captain Teach bellowed from the dock.
Tomorrow you'll be ready for a real workout.
But we are working,
Liza said. The entire third grade practiced rowing all afternoon under Captain Teach's strict command. Eddie started off by splashing the kids with his oars. But one buckle-down mate from Captain Teach stopped Eddie's mischief.
Watch out! Liza screamed.
Just as the four friends were getting the hang of rowing, a speedboat zipped past, leaving huge waves in its wake. Eddie and Melody frantically turned the boat away from the rushing water while the waves crashed up against their tiny boat. Howie dropped his oar and Liza screamed.
Hardy har har!
Teach roared from the dock.
I see you land lubbers know nothing about water. If you see ripples coming at you, face them head on. That way the waves will rock you like a baby in a cradle.
After that, no one goofed off, and everyone improved. The next time a boat sped past, they rode out the waves like experts.
We're getting pretty good at this,
Eddie bragged. Captain Teach threw his head back and laughed.
You city slickers are barely moving the boat. You have a long way to go before you'll beat those Sheldon rogues.
Sheldon rogues! Sheldon rogues!
Long-tongued Jack screeched from Teach's shoulder. He flapped his wings when Captain Teach hopped into a boat. Teach showed Howie how to tie the boat to the dock with a tight hitching knot. Then he grinned at the tired campers.
You rascals need to eat. You'll need to muster all your strength for tomorrow's workout, he said. So eat hearty, mates.
All right, I'm starving, Liza cheered.
Captain Teach waited until the last boater was safely on the dock before he stomped off toward the cabins. The other boaters ran ahead with Coach Ellison, but Liza was too tired to keep up. Melody, Howie, and Eddie slowed down to walk with her.
My arms are killing me, Liza said
as the kids followed a good distance behind Captain Teach. Melody nodded her head.
I've never worked so hard in my whole life.
That Teach is a real battle axe,
Eddie agreed, looking up the trail at Teach's huge back.
But he might just make winners out of us.
You mean you like him?
Howie asked, rubbing his sore arms. Eddie shrugged.
I wouldn't exactly say I like him, but I do like to win. Captain Teach sure seems to know about rowing. If we keep this up, those Sheldon sharks won't stand a chance. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad Nature Week is at Camp Lone Wolf.
You'd better enjoy it here while you can, Liza told him. Carrie told us that the camp is probably going to close.
What are you talking about? Howie asked.
Melody explained.
The camp is losing money. If Mr. Jenkins can't make this month's payment, the bank is going to turn it into a huge mall.
Liza looked at the tree-lined trail and sighed.
I still think it would be a shame to tear down these huge old trees. I bet some of them were here when Molly the Red terrorized the first Bailey City.
That's what Camp Lone Wolf needs, Howie told them. Molly the Red's treasure.
You're right, Melody agreed. Captain Teach said it was never found. Maybe we could find it,
Liza squealed. Eddie shook his head.
If it hasn't been found in over 200 years, there's no way we could find it. We'd better concentrate on beating the Sheldon sharks.
I guess you're right, Liza said. Still, it would be nice to save those big trees.
Eddie bent down to pick up a small green case that was in the middle of the trail.
I think Teach dropped this, he said.
It's his sunglasses case, Liza said. We can give it to him in the dining hall.
It's empty, except for a piece of paper,
Eddie told his friends as he unsnapped the case.
That's none of your business, Liza told him and tried to jerk the case away.
Liza's right, Howie agreed.
A little peek won't hurt anything, Eddie muttered. Besides, we don't even know for sure it's Teach's. I'll see if there's a name inside.
Eddie pulled a yellowed piece of paper from the back of the case and carefully unfolded it. Strange lines covered the small paper, and wispy handwriting filled one corner.
There's a note on it, Eddie said.
Melody snatched the paper from Eddie.
Reading other people's mail is against the law.
Eddie shrugged.
It's just an old map anyway.
Why would Teach keep an old map in his sunglasses case?
Liza asked. He probably uses it to plan our rowing training, Howie suggested.
Maybe we should keep it so he won't be able to plan any more killer workouts, Melody said as she folded the map and stuffed it back in the case. That wouldn't be honest, Liza told them. We'll give it to him at dinner.
When they finally reached the dining hall, Coach Ellison was helping Mr. Jenkins grill hamburgers and hot dogs, but Captain Teach was nowhere in sight.
Chapter 5. Blackbeard.
We have to give his sunglasses case to him, Liza told her friends. He might be worried about it.
The kids had swallowed down their entire supper of hot dogs, hamburgers, French fries, baked beans, and ice cream, and there was still no sign of Captain Teach in the dining hall.
We have plenty of time before the campfire, Melody said.
Eddie frowned and licked the last bit of ice cream off his fingers.
We don't know where Teach is staying.
Teach is in that small cabin close to the boat dock, Carrie said as she walked past their table to put up her food tray.
I saw him going there after he practically killed us this afternoon.
It's settled then, Liza said, gathering up her tray.
We'll go right now.
I don't know how I ever got mixed up with a bunch of turkeys like you guys,
Eddie complained as they walked down the path to the lake. There's the cabin, Howie said. I never even noticed it before. Howie pointed through the trees at the small cabin set back from the path. The gray wooden cabin had a tiny porch with a flag hanging from it.
That's a weird flag, Melody said, as they walked onto Captain Teach's porch.
The flag was black, with a white skull painted on it, and crossed bones were underneath the skull.
That's a Jolly Roger, Howie told them. Teach must like to study about pirates.
How do you know that's a pirate flag? Eddie asked.
For all you know, it could be the flag of Brazil. Maybe Teach is from Brazil.
If you'd read a book once in a while, you'd learn something, Howie said as he knocked on the door.
He's not here, Eddie said. Are you happy now? We walked all the way down here for nothing.
Try one more time, Liza suggested. Howie knocked on the door again. This time his pounding caused the door to slowly creak open. Howie peeked inside the cabin. He looked back at his friends and gulped.
Captain Teach isn't here. But you'll never believe what is.
Eddie pushed past Howie into the cabin.
Wow, this is neat!
Eddie shouted. The walls of the cabin were covered with swords, old guns, and yellow maps. A large bird perch stood near the window, and a bookcase was crammed full of model ships in glass bottles.
I've always wanted one of these,
Eddie said, picking up a huge ship in a bottle labeled Queen Anne's Revenge.
You'd better put that down before you break it, Liza said. We can just leave the case on the porch.
I don't think we'd better leave anything, Howie told them. I have a strange feeling about all this.
What are you talking about? Melody asked.
Let me see that map again,
Howie asked Melody. She shrugged and handed over the green case. Howie carefully unfolded the old map and held it up by the window to read its strange handwriting.
You shouldn't read that,
Liza reminded him. Howie looked at Liza and spoke very seriously.
This may be a matter of life and death. Besides, this isn't a letter. It's just a note scribbled on a map.
I guess it's okay. Can you read what it says?
Liza said. Howie carefully smoothed out the old crinkled paper and tried to make out the words. He read,
My dearest Blackbeard, I am doomed. I leave you my treasure and my love.
Liza squinted to read the strange handwriting.
Do you think it's from Molly?
Molly the Red? Melody asked. Howie nodded his head.
And I bet this is a map telling Blackbeard where her treasure is buried.
You're crazy,
Eddie said, grabbing the map back.
What would Teach be doing with a pirate's map?
In the same book that he had the pirate's flag, there was also a section about Blackbeard, Howie told them.
That makes sense, Melody said.
She touched a huge sword that hung from the wall.
After all, Blackbeard was the most famous pirate who ever lived.
Also the meanest,
Eddie agreed. Howie pointed to the ship in the bottle Eddie had held up.
That was his ship. Read the name on the bottom of the label.
Eddie held the bottle up to read the label in the fading light.
Queen Anne's Revenge, Ship of Blackbeard. Captain Edward Teach, killed, 1718.
Captain Teach, Melody squealed.
So what?
Eddie put the bottle back on the shelf.
You said yourself Teach likes to study about pirates. Captain Teach is probably his nickname.
Howie shook his head. I don't think Teach just likes to study about pirates. I think he is a pirate.
Eddie laughed out loud.
Pirates lived a long time ago. There aren't any left today.
Besides, whoever heard of a pirate wearing pink sunglasses?
Melody said.
I don't know, Liza said. Let's just leave the case and go.
We can't.
Howie shook his head. We know too much. If this is a treasure map and Teach really is a pirate, we may be in a lot of danger.
Danger! Danger! Squawk!
The four kids jumped at the loud screech. There, perched on the windowsill, was long-tongued Jack.
Chapter 6. Bird Brain.
Run! Melody screamed and darted for the door along with her friends. They collided before they could squeeze through, and Liza went sprawling across the floor. Howie tripped over her and landed with a thump.
Ouch! Liza cried. You hurt my leg!
Peg leg! Peg leg!
Long-tongued Jack crowed.
I'd like to give you a peg leg, you bird brain!
Eddie hissed at the bird. Long-tongued Jack flapped across the room and landed right on Eddie's curly red hair.
Squawk! Bird brain! Bird brain!
Cut that out!
Eddie shook his head, and Jack flew to his bird perch. Melody giggled.
It looks like Jack knows who has a bird brain.
Howie sat up and rubbed his elbow.
Shh! Teach must be nearby. We have to get out of here before it's too late.
The four kids peeked out the door. The trail was clear, so they silently slipped out of the cabin. They were sneaking down the trail when a sound from behind a huge oak stopped them dead in their tracks.
What might you scallywags be up to? You should be down at the campfire,
Teach grumbled in his raspy voice. The four kids turned to face Teach. Howie shoved the green sunglasses case deeper into his pocket, and Liza squeezed behind Eddie and Melody.
We're just out exploring the woods,
Melody stammered.
Admiring the plants and stuff,
Eddie added.
Hardy har har, laughed Teach. Then you've found my favorite wild flower in these woods.
Teach pointed to a group of flowers that were nearly as tall as the kids.
See how those bright orange blossoms hang around the stem like a necklace on a lady's neck?
Teach asked.
They shimmer like gold. Aye, these be my favorite flower in the woods. But they have a secret, too.
What? Liza asked.
Come closer,
Teach said.
I'll show you.
The four kids inched closer to Teach as he held up a stem with the dangling orange flowers.
Do you see the green jewel? It hangs beneath the blossom.
Teach pointed to a small seed pod.
Go ahead. Touch it.
When Liza reached out and tapped the pod, seeds exploded against her nose.
Wow, that's neat!
Eddie laughed and reached over to tap a few seed pods himself.
An atom bomb flower.
What's it called? Howie asked.
Some call it jewelweed,
Teach said with a smile.
But others have another name for it. The same thing that Molly the Red said about her very own treasure of riches.
What? The four campers asked.
Touch me not.
Teach said. Then he squeezed a dangling pod and sent a seed pinging against Eddie's forehead.
Squawk! Touch me not! Touch me not!
Long-tongued Jack called from the nearby tree. Teach winked at the campers before him.
Aye, 'tis best not to touch the jewels of pirates. But the jewel weed is a jewel of nature, here for us all to enjoy.
Then Teach began to laugh. Only this time, his laughter sent cold chills racing up the four kids' backs.
We'd better get back to camp,
Melody said as she backed away from Teach.
Aye,
Teach nodded.
You best be trotting back to the others before they think something bad has befallen you.
The four friends left Teach standing next to the clump of jewelweed and hurried to the campfire. As the other kids were roasting marshmallows and listening to Coach Ellison talk about wildflowers, Howie, Melody, Liza, and Eddie huddled near a huge maple tree.
Now do you believe Teach is a pirate?
Melody asked Eddie. Howie nodded.
He's here at Camp Lone Wolf to find Molly the Red's treasure.
And he knows we have the map. That's why he was warning us against touching the treasure, Liza whimpered.
Eddie shrugged.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?